We'll open to Romans chapter number 6, and last week we did kind of an overview of the 6th chapter. This week, with the Lord's help, we just want to take verse by verse, and I'll give you a little bit of review. Now, let me remind you, as Brother David said about being here tonight, Brother Rusty Gooing, you'll enjoy hearing what the Lord is doing in his life, and then we'll continue in our study in the book of Ruth. And so I trust you'll come tonight as the Lord has laid on my heart at this moment about decisions. You know, the book of Ruth is a book of decisions, and so is your life, and so is mine. And we need to learn what it is to make good, sound, Bible-based, God-honoring decisions. And as we do that, well, then I think that we'll find where God has a place of blessing for us. Oftentimes, we ask God to bless us when we should say, God, put us in the position so you can. Put us in a place so you can bless us in accordance to your character. Romans chapter number 6. Let's just kind of take some time and go through this. If you'll remember, we said this 6th chapter was a chapter discussing how we as believers can have victory. Now, God wants every Christian to live the victorious Christian life. And I'm going to be saying this often. I'm going to be talking to you about this. Christianity works. It's unfortunate that there's so many people that know how to say that, but do not know how to live that. I want to say it again. Christianity works. Amen. Christianity works. God's Word changes lives. Amen. 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 Say, well, now God's Word changed my life when I trusted Him and I got saved. That same word you can trust to change your life, to live the victorious Christian life that Christ has enabled you and I, who are Christians, to live by the resurrection power that He has imparted to us through His Spirit. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Now, the book of Romans, it started out by talking about condemnation. And it talked about the condemnation that deals with sin. And God will judge sin. God does judge sin. But then it talked about that not only does God judge sin, but God is willing to justify from sin. So it went from condemnation to justification, the condemnation that deals with sin to the justification that deals with salvation. That is how we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith. It's nothing that we have done. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. In other words, Paul said, it's not your merit, it's God's mercy that saves. And so now he's going to get into, now that you know what it is to be under condemnation, and you know what it is to experience justification. Chapter 5 begins this way, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to talk about not only having the peace with God through justification, but the peace of God through sanctification. How can I have victory and have that continual peace of God in my heart and life? Well, chapter 6, 7, and 8 is going to deal with that. Chapter 6 deals with victory as we deal with the flesh. Chapter 7, as when we get there, we will see, deals with liberty as it deals with the law. Chapter 8 deals with security as it deals with the Spirit of God. But I want to just kind of walk down through this chapter and try to help you to understand what God has done for you. If you are saved, God has not only paid the penalty for your sin, but He has provided the power for you to live the victorious Christian life. And so He has broken the power of sin in your life. You say, oh boy, I won't sin anymore, you think? How's that working out for you? Now listen, I want to make this very clear, as we shall see, that when you got saved, you did not lose your Adamic nature, you gained the divine nature. When you got saved, you remain a sinner, but in God's eyes, you're a saint. Now you're saved by grace, the imparted Spirit, the divine nature, will enable you, as the power of sin is broken in your life, that you no longer have to be a servant of sin. Sin does not have to have that power in your life. And I want to help you this morning from the Word of God, so let's walk down through the Scripture. In verse number 1, Paul said, "What shall we say then?" And of course, this is what he said just in the last few verses, but primarily all the way back to the beginning of the letter. "What shall we say then, now that I have presented unto you this doctrine of grace, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that the grace of God, which appeareth unto all men, brings you salvation, and you should live in that grace soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." So what should we say then? What should we say to these things? And Paul, of course, was knowing that there was going to be questions about this grace. He was writing to people who thought that law was the answer. Brethren, I want to say it once again, law is not the answer. Amen. The strength of sin is the law. Right. Did you get that? The strength of sin is the law. All right? If you're going to conquer sin, it's not going to come through the law. It's going to come through grace. If I'm going to have victory over sin, it's going to come through grace. Grace gives me victory. There is a higher doctrine than law, and that is love. I do not serve God because I'm demanded to. I serve God because I choose to, because I'm thankful for the grace of God that has been applied to my life. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, the more that I sin, that grace is going to be more prevalent and active in my life. He said in verse number 2, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Now, brethren, there's three words before I get into this that I asked you last week to underline. And it's the word know, it's the word reckon, and it's the word yield. As you look at this sixth chapter, those words are just so important to unfolding the truth and understanding the teaching that is in the sixth chapter. There's just some things you have to know. In other words, I want you to think about this word, realize. There's just some things as a Christian you have to realize. And then there's some things that you have to reckon. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon. That's an accounting term. Remember we said that. It means that you account, that you take into account, you reckon, you recognize. See, know is to realize. Reckon is to recognize. Know is to appreciate a truth. Reckon is to appropriate a truth. In other words, I am going to make that truth my own. I'm going to apply that truth to my life. I'm going to act on it, right? I'm just not going to know it in my mind. I'm going to act on it in my heart. And I'm going to yield to it with my will. That's to respond. So we know, that's to realize. We reckon, that's to recognize. But then when we yield, that's to respond. God wants us to respond to the truth. Amen, brethren? Amen. Respond. Respond. Now let's see what he says. How shall we that are dead to sin? Did you notice that? You see, we as Christians went from being dead in sin to dead to sin. Amen. Well, you were dead in trespasses and sin. Now we're dead to sin. How can it be? Let's read on. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, it didn't say commit, but how can you live in sin when you're dead to it? How can you live in sin? He said in verse number 3, "Know you not?" Ignorance. Ignorance. He says three times in this section here, and look at verse number 3, "Know you not?" Look in verse number 16, "Know you not?" Look at chapter 7, verse 1, "Know you not?" In other words, don't you know? Have you not heard? Has someone not told you? Have you not learned? "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death." That's why we believe in baptism by immersion. Amen. When we bury folks, we don't sprinkle dirt on them. Somebody say amen with me. We've been baptized into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Jesus, when he came up from the grave, came up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive resurrection power. We're going to talk about that some in the verses to come. Again, I'm not going in depth. I just want you to have an understanding so you can apply these scriptural truths to your life. When you were reading chapter 6, I hope that you were making sense of it and you were saying, okay, this is how this applies. If not, please follow along. Verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. When Christ died, when you got saved, you died with him. Amen. Christ's death had your name on it. Amen. And so he said, you're dead. He said that in verse number 2, didn't he? How shall we that are dead to sin? You're dead. You're not dead in sin. You're dead to it. You say, well, I wish somebody would tell my body that. Amen. I'm getting tempted every day, preacher. Where are we going to address that? Paul's going to address it in a moment. That's where the reckoning part comes in. You reckon. You take into account that God has made possible. He has provided a power for you to overcome. Let's read on. Verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. I like this phrase here, that the body of sin, that agent that is active in our Adamic nature, that wants to carry out sinful practices in our life, the body of sin, Paul said. When you look that phrase up, that's what he's saying. It's that agent that carries out the evil, the unrighteous deeds in the life of an individual. That body of sin might be destroyed, that it might be rendered helpless, that it might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, he didn't say that henceforth we should not sin. He said, but not serve it. You've got a new master now. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you're saved, you have a new master. You need to recognize that. Know some things. You have a new master. You're not under the power of sin anymore. You're in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have a power to help you to break the bondage, to deny and to turn from and to say no instead of yielding to sin. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Now, everyone yields. I'm going to just say this right here. Listen to me. Everyone yields. The question is, who are we going to yield to? See, we are so wired, we are so made because of the Adamic nature. Now, I want to make this very clear. In Christ, we have life. In Adam, there's death. We had no choice to be born in Adam. You write this verse down, 1 Corinthians 15:22. For in Adam, all die. You said, I want to be born in Adam. I'm sorry, you don't have a choice in that. You have an Adamic nature. You have a sinful nature. In Adam, we're all going to die. Why? Because in Adam, we all sin. We receive a sin nature, and the wages of sin is death. But now, that's our first birth. Our first birth. Our second birth deals with a choice. It's a choice. And the choice is, will you receive the second birth? Will you receive life in Christ? Let's just turn there just for a moment. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. You have to see this. 1 Corinthians 15, turn there if you would. Now, some people have taken this scripture and said, well, you know what, everyone's going to heaven. Well, now, I want you to notice very carefully what the Bible teaches. We don't want a Bible. We don't want the Bible to try to make it say anything that it doesn't say. We want it to read it and accept it for what it says. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 22. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam, all die. I don't think there's a person in here that would have a problem with that. You say, well, I do, preacher. When you go visit a graveyard, I'm telling you, they've died, they're dying, and they're going to continue to die. Why, preacher? Because it is appointed unto man once to die. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So I don't like to talk about death. Well, it's not the most pleasant subject, but it's a reality. And you need to know. We're talking about things you need to know. So he said in verse 22, for as, look at the wording here, in Adam, we're all in Adam, but not all are in Christ. He said, in Adam all die. That means we're all going to die. Death is going to touch and affect us all. But now notice the next phrase in verse number 22. Even so, in Christ. See, not everyone is in Christ. Only those who have received him are in Christ. The dead are going to raise. But Paul made it very clear. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You see, there's a distinction. So, to be born in Adam, no choice. To be born again in Christ, you have a choice. Decisions, decisions. Make the right choice. Amen. Trust Christ as your personal Savior. It's the only way to have forgiveness of sin and a place reserved for you in heaven. It's the only way. And so as we go back to Romans now, the apostle said, in verse number 6, that we should not serve sin. Can I tell you that a Christian should not be in bondage to sin? You shouldn't be in bondage to sin. If you're saved in the grace of God, if you're in bondage to sin, it's because you chose to be. Because God has provided a way through Christ to where that sin, the power of sin, has been broken, and you can live victorious over sin. Look, if you would, at the next verse, verse number 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You mean I don't sin? Oh, the understood subject there is power. Listen, for he that is dead is freed from the power of sin. Amen. It is so important that Paul said it 3 times. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7. I'll read it again. He that is dead. You say, are we dead? Well, notice again, if you went in verse number 2, how shall we that are dead to sin? In verse number 6, knowing this, our old man is crucified with him. We're dead. I am crucified, Paul said in Galatians 2, with Christ. That makes you dead. But I'm alive. Paul said, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live. Listen, this is where he's reckoning some things. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm a dead man walking. I'm alive. Amen. I'm alive. I died in Christ. I'm alive through the resurrection power. I'm living. Christ is living his life through me. He said in verse number 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. Being then made what? Free from sin. You're free from the power of sin, Christian brother. Christian sister, listen to me. Don't let the devil lie to you any longer. Don't go on in your life through ignorance and say, well, I can't help it. Sure you can. Every time you sin, you choose to sin. We live in a society with a generation of folks who are justifying their deeds, and they're pointing the blame, and they're saying, well, I couldn't help it. It's his fault, her fault, their fault. Listen, if I sin, it's because I chose to. Preacher, how much did you sin yesterday? As much as I chose to. And so we have to understand this. The scripture says in verse number 7, he's freed from sin. Verse number 11, being then made free from sin. Now, listen, the Bible means what it says, and it says what it means. When you get saved, God breaks the bondage of sin in our lives and the power of sin. We're free from it. That doesn't mean that we're not going to sin. It just means we don't have to. One more time, let's read it over in verse number 22. But now being made what? Free from sin. I'm just telling you, brethren, Paul said, I want you to get this. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know what you have in Christ Jesus when you get saved. You have a power to live the victorious Christian life. Isn't that wonderful, brethren? Praise God, we don't live under the bondage of sin anymore. We don't live under the master. We're not a slave to the master of sin. We're a bond slave. See, a slave has no choice. A bond slave has been set free. He said here in verse number 7, go back to it. He said in verse number 7, you're freed. You've been set free. See, a bond slave has been set free, but he goes back and he says, I want to be a slave. I have been set free from the power of sin, but I've come back now to one, the one who has set me free. And I say, I want to live for you. I want to willingly bring myself under your authority. I want to be your slave now, Christ. I want to serve you. I want to serve righteousness. I've been set free from the old master, and I've been born again, and I have brought myself under the rule or the reign, as Paul in just a moment called the word, of the new master. Amen. Amen. See, you say, I'm not going to serve anyone. Don't kid yourself. Everyone serves someone. You'll either serve God, yourself, or Satan. Everyone is a servant to someone. But you get to choose. When you get saved, who you going to serve? See, that's the difference between we who are saved. We've been set free. Serve who you want. But choose carefully. Because there's consequences for your choices. This is the teaching of the Scripture. God didn't set me free to live the life I wanted to live. God set me free to live the life that He has planned for me. And I have taken into account, I have reckoned, look at verse 11, I have reckoned that God knows best for my life. God knows better than me what I need. God knows better than I of how I should live and what I should go for in life. That's called purpose. Some folks, when they get pardoned, they're so busy, and I'm not in any way minimizing rejoicing over your pardon. Continue to rejoice. But don't forget, with pardon comes purpose. And so while I am very, very thankful that I've been pardoned, I'm glad that I've been pardoned to a purpose. God has a will for my life. And He said, because of that, I want you to present your bodies in chapter 12 of this same book. By the way, that word presents a very interesting word. If time permits, we'll talk about it just a little bit. So let's read on. Verse number 8. Now, if we, and here it is again, be dead with Christ. You've got to know this now, you're dead. If we be dead with Christ, if we be dead with Christ, we believe, we reckon, that we should also live with Him. Verse number 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. Amen. Well, I think Paul's getting ready to tell us some really important stuff here. Did you get that phrase? Our master has conquered death. Amen. Death hath no more dominion over him. You see, the wages of sin is death. Sin couldn't touch him, brethren. He came in the likeness, Philippians 2, of sinful flesh, and yet without sin. Think about that. Never sin. He said, that's the one who's given you the power. Amen. The one who has never done it, giving you the power. That you don't have to do it. Amen. 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 See, we've lived under the teaching so long. Well, you know, we have the Adam and they just got to sin. And we've justified it. We've lived under the cloak and dagger, the bondage of sin. And just wondered why, what is going on? Why am I so weak? Why am I not enjoying the victory? Why am I not enjoying this Christianity? Brethren, listen to me. Christianity works. Yes. I'm going to say it again. Christianity works. Amen. The words of Christ, the Bible changes lives. Amen. You do not have to live in defeat. Right. You do not have to live under the power of bondage of sin. We've been set free. Free, brethren, free. He said here in verse number 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Now, that's somebody I want to get close to right there. I want to serve this one. I want to serve one who has conquered some things that I am really, really struggling with. Look at verse number 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. In other words, he has the power over sin, the power over death, and he liveth unto God, and you can too if you'll follow him. Now we get to the second word, reckon. Now these are just things you should know. These are things I should know. Then we get to verse number 11. Likewise, because of what I've said, you should know. Likewise, you've got to reckon some things. It's not enough just to know it in here. You've got to reckon it in here. Right? You've got to act on it. It's kind of like I gave the illustration last week, remember? So you come up to me, my wife comes to me and says, I see this dress over here that I'd like to purchase, and it's $100. And I say, well, let me see. And I pull my wallet out and I say, well, you know, doggone it, I only have 50. You men are laughing because you know that's a good one every time, man. I only have 50. And then she said, well, I'd really like to have this dress. I really only have $50. Well, don't we have any money in the bank? Well, I don't know. Let's see. Bank out, right? Well, the bank says that we have $1,500. You have 50. The bank says we have 15. You got me there. What are you going to do? You're going to buy the dress if you're smart. Hey, man, if you're not, I've got 2 slots left for canceling. You're going to buy the dress. Why? Because you're going to reckon that bank app is so. I can only see 50. There's just some things in our life we can only see, but we don't walk by sight, brethren. We walk by faith. That's what the word reckon. It's an accounting term. It means you act on it. So when Christ says you are free from sin, you need to live that way. Amen. When the Bible says you're dead with Christ, you need to understand. You need to act that way. You need to understand that when God says something, make it so in your life. Make it so. Act on it. That's called living by faith, brethren. And yet there's so little of it today. God help me. God help you. God help us. And so he says here, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. I told you you were dead. Now act like it. That's what he's saying. Your wife told you you had $1,500 in the bank. Now act on it and buy that dress. That's what's being told here. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. I've told you over and over and over, you're free, you're free, you're dead unto sin, you're free from the power of sin. Act like it, live like it. Activate that power that's in your life that Christ has provided to have victory. I hope you're getting this. This is the key to victorious Christian living, brethren. Let not sin, therefore... Well, let me go back. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to say this because I may not have time as I bring this to a close here in just a few moments. I've got some other things I'm going to say. But I want you just to take note of this, go home and look at this, and I'm telling you, there is great truth in what I'm getting ready to share with you that I'm not going to go into this morning. I may, but I want you to look at it, okay? You see that phrase there at the latter part of verse number 10? What a phrase. It's not the law that you're going to get this victory. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul put it this way, just straight out in 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here it is right here. Look at it. Look at the latter part of verse number 11. But alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, over in verse number 23. Now, a lot of times we quote this verse, and there's nothing wrong with using this verse as we're leading someone to Christ, but Paul's writing to a church. Paul's writing to believers, and he's talking about victory in verse 23. He said, the wages of sin is death. You really need to consider this thing called victory and live in victory and not under the bondage of death or sin, because it's death. But the gift of God, now here's our phrase, is eternal life, look, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory. And then notice, if you would, the latter part of verse number, the last verse in verse number 27. Chapter 7. I'll get out of here in a minute. Verse 25. Chapter 7, verse 25. I thank God. Here's our phrase. Don't miss it now. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, you're looking at a man that is living in victory. Not because I'm a master of the law, not because I studied at the feet of a wise man, not because I'm this or that, but through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have allowed Him to reign in my life. I have presented myself unto Him. I have yielded unto Him. And through Him, I have victory. Through Him, you can have victory too. Well, let me hasten and give you my final word here. It's in verse number 13, and it's yield. Five times in these next few verses, Paul's going to use the word yield or yielded. It's a very interesting word. And so it's from this I'm going to draw some practical application that I want you to take home with you. The rest of it's just been information. How can I do this, preacher? How can I know? How can I reckon? How can I live the victorious Christian life? A lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll just tell people you can do it. But we need to tell people how to do it. Amen? You know, I want you to leave here knowing you can do it. But I want you to know more than that. I want you to know how you can do it. How can I do this, preacher? Well, I'm just going to try my hardest. No, that's not how you live the victorious Christian life. Now, I will say this. According to verses 15 through 18, in case I don't get to this, you've got to take this serious. See, you can't just say, well, you know, if I live victorious, I'm victorious, if I don't. I'm going to tell you now what the Word of God's teaching here in verse 15 through 18 is, you need to take this thing of living the victorious Christian life serious. God does. Christian, God does. You need to have a hard position against sin. God does. People with a soft position against sin do not live victorious Christian lives. People that can take it or leave it. Hear me now. Listen, I know it's a little warm and some of you stayed up late. And I just want you to get this, okay? I'm not fussing at you. I just want you to get this. I want to help you live victorious. The devil has kept folks in the bondage and the shackles of sin so long. And I want you to listen. I want somebody to get some help and break free this morning. Break free, brethren. You're no longer under that slave master. You're in Christ. And Jesus has paid the price. Jesus has provided the victory, the power to live the victorious Christian life. I say it's high time that we as born again children of God live like it. Walk like it. Proclaim it. Let the world know Christianity works. Christianity works. I'm not looking for some religion to change the way I view things. I have a relationship with the God of heaven through Jesus Christ that has molded my character, that has forgiven my sin, that has imparted into me a divine nature, that has given me the power to live victorious over sin. I'm here to tell you this morning, it is real, amen. What I speak to you about is not just some form of doctrine only, though thank God it is the doctrine of the Word of God. What I speak to you about this morning is the power of God through the resurrected Christ. It's real. And I'm afraid that we have sit in our churches and we've been lulled to sleep. We've been lied to by the enemy. We've set our Bibles down and quit reading the truth. Now we're ignorant. We don't know. Hosea the prophet said, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. You have rejected knowledge, he said. He said, therefore I will forget your children.
Read it, Hosea 4:6. It's important, brethren. And I just want somebody, you say, well, the preacher seems mad. I am mad at the devil. Not at you. I love you. We serve together. We go to battle together. We're family. And I don't want to see the devil run roughshod over you. I want you to experience the cloth loosening, grave cloth loosening power of God in Christ Jesus. So you can walk in liberty, which is in Christ. He said here in verse number 13, and I'll give you this and I'll close. There's a word, before I get into yield, I have to mention this. In verse number 12, he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. I've highlighted that word in my Bible. I don't know if you highlight or underline, but if you do, I wish you would. Because what Paul is doing, he's taking up a conversation that he left off back in chapter 5. In chapter 5, in verse number 14, he said, death reigned. You see it there in chapter 5, verse 14? Look at verse 17. For if with one man's offense, death reigned. And then the latter of verse number 17 said, the gift of righteousness shall reign. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. And now he comes and he says here in chapter number 6, make a choice. Don't you let sin reign in your mortal body. You don't have to. You say, preacher, I'm just given to it. I've tried and I can't do it. Well, in yourself, you're right. You can't. You need to tap into a power that's been provided you through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's very real. Christianity works. The Bible changes lives. The principles of this book, when applied, will bring forth the fruit of righteousness.
Amen. Amen.
The word yield. Let's close here. That's our third word. Paul said, I want you to know some things. I want you to reckon. I want you to know. I want you to realize now who you are, what Christ did when he died, and how that affected you as a believer. And then he said this. He said, I want you to recognize. He said, I want you to reckon. Recognize it. Don't just realize it up here. Recognize it. Act on it. And then he said, I want you to yield. Respond to it. Carry it on. I want to give you three quick things. I'm just going to mention them. We'll probably pick up here next week. I'm not in a hurry to get through chapter 6. Okay? I told you, I believe with all of my heart, chapter 6, 7, and 8 of the book of Romans just could be the greatest section of Scripture for the believer now in all the New Testament. It will mean the difference of how you live your Christian life. The rewards that you may receive when you get to heaven. And the entrance that you may gain. You say, well, I'm going to heaven, I'm saved. I understand that. But please don't think everyone's going to the same entrance now. You need to read the Scripture. You need to read the Scripture. You say, what do you mean the same entrance? Well, I know we're all going to the same entrance as far as getting there, but receive the same when we get to heaven. Not everyone's going to be receiving the same things when we get to heaven, brethren. Amen.
Amen.
We might need to have a know you not moment. Know you not? No. No. We all receive the gift of eternal life. But there's rewards in heaven for the laborer who has toiled and labored in the name of Christ for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. And so I hope you will take that into account. Let me give you three things here that I hope you'll write down. Verse 13, the word yield means to present. This actually comes from the same root word of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present, you yield, you present, you stand by, you stand even. That's a word. Look it up. I looked it up in 1828, looked it up in the Strong's Concordance. These are the three main words or words: stand by, present, stand. Stand by means give in to. Present means submit. And stand means to just stand, haven't done all, just stand. Has almost a connotation of just fight. See, some folks are not serious about sin, so they don't fight against it. The Bible says we're to fight against sin, we're to fight against the devil, we're to resist the devil, but not before we submit to God. See, I've been resisting the devil and he won't go away. It's because you're doing it in your own power, in your own flesh. Submit yourselves, James said, therefore, unto God. Now you can resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I'm just telling you what the Word says. The Bible's always right. Yield. You're going to have to yield up your members as instruments. Don't do it now of unrighteousness. Look at verse 13. But yield yourselves unto God. Now, there's three things that I'm going to mention. We'll pick up here next week. First of all, verse 13 says that I am to give in to God's will. Look at the latter part of verse 13. You say, how am I going to do this? Look at the latter part of verse 13. Give in to God's will. Look at it. Verse number 13. Look at the latter part. But yield. You see it there? But yield yourselves unto God. Give in to God's will. God's will for you is not to yield to sin. Yield to God. You're going to yield to one or the other. Is that right? Amen. There's no neutral ground in temptation. You're either going to do it or not. When I'm tempted to do something, I'm either going to do what I've been tempted to do or not do it. I'm either going to yield my members of unrighteousness unto sin and do it, or I'm going to yield my members as righteous unto God and not do it. That's what. So I'm going to yield. I'm going to give in to the will of God. We'll go into this in detail. I want to help you to understand how to live the victorious Christian life, because I believe you want to. See, I believe every Christian wants to. I do. I know I want to. And I believe you want to. Sometimes folks just don't know how. I'm going to go ahead and say it, not save it for the end. There's people that want to their life to change. They want a relationship with God. They just don't know how. We have a couple here that I talked to last week, the Harbin family right here. Raise your hands there. Good folks. You know what? Catholics seeking God, wanting truth, wanting a relationship, looking through religion. And it could be, listen, they could have been Baptists too. Sure. Amen. Amen. You don't go to heaven for being a Baptist. You go to heaven by being saved. Amen. With a personal relationship with Christ. They came to me and they shared with me how they were just seeking and seeking. And they went to their priest and he couldn't give the answers. And they just were frustrated. But you know what? They sought diligently. God has promised that they that seek me with all of their heart shall find me. Thank Amen. God. Amen. Thank God. They yielded themselves. If I'm going to live victorious, if you're going to live victorious, we're going to yield ourselves. We're going to have to give into God's will. Number two, look at chapter 6, verse 14a. We're going to have to get hold of the Word of God. What's the Word of God say? Look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You either believe that or you don't. You need to get hold of God's Word. We're going to talk about that. This is how you can live victorious. You've got to understand, you do not have to give in to sin. It does not. It no longer has dominion over you. And then the third thing is, you in verse the latter part of verse number 14 is go on in God's grace. You're not under the law, but under grace. Go on in God's way. Do it God's way. You say the grace of God will just give me a license to sin. That's not what Paul said in Titus chapter 2. Paul said the grace of God will teach us to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Well, that's the message God's laid on my heart this morning. Oh, how I pray that God would help somebody, and I mean this, have victory, brethren. Victory. It's real. It's real. You don't have to live in sin, defeated, up and down and off and on and hot and cold, lukewarm. You don't have to do that. You can have victory this morning. Let's stand to our feet.